Om Shanti. Welcome to Awakening with the Brahma Kumaris. There's one thing that I'm doing sitting here that you're doing as well. Karma. Karma just keeps going on, you know it or you don't, with every breath there's karma. But somewhere with karma we associate a certain amount of fear, or an obligation maybe. And we also think, if we don't do good karma, something bad will happen to us. So there's always maybe an if. And also sometimes I think that, I mean, I didn't cut all those trees, and why am I being faced with a world that's ending, and there's deforestation, and there's global warming? Why should I fear for something that I really never did? So what is karma really, and how can we reverse our effects of bad karma and start good karma? So to explain a little bit about karma, we've got with us Brother Anthony, all the way from Greece. Om Shanti, Brother Anthony.
Om Shanti, Anthony.
Brother Anthony, somewhere I fear karma. I'm scared that if I do something bad, you know, in our Hindu text, we say that if you make bad karma, you will have a bad afterlife, or you will have a bad rebirth. So somewhere I deliberately try and do good karma, but I feel that it's not really true and honest, and maybe I'll be born as a dog in my next birth. So how do I alleviate my fear?
Well, first of all, fear, whether it's fear about karma or fear about God or fear about the afterlife, fear is always because there's not right understanding. Because right understanding gives comfort to the soul. Right understanding gives a hopeful and confident direction. And so it's a matter of understanding karma and what actually it means. Karma is not a curse. Karma is, it can be an obligation if I've upset a particular balance. But the religion of the world, whether it's in a person, whether it's nature as the globe, is peace, order and harmony. And you see in nature there are always balances working. The four seasons, day and night, it always goes like this. Once that balance is broken, then that imbalance creates negative karma, because there's also good karma as well. It's not all negative. And why is that imbalance happening? Because there's not respect. And so karma is the response of life to our thoughts, our words, our actions, our character. And so if I am careful how I think, how I speak, then I do not create debt, actually. And you're talking about being reborn as an animal or as a...
We hear that as kids, that if you make bad karma, if you're bad to somebody, you're born as that, so you can go through that.
Well, in the Raja Yoga meditation, which I studied, and therefore I believe it also, is that a human soul will always come within a human body.
Why?
Because that is what is natural for its expression. You know, I as a soul, that it has particular intellect, that has particular feelings, I won't be born as a mosquito, you know, as a fly, or as an elephant even. And people have asked me, well, what about some animals? Do they reincarnate? Well, I would say yes, the elephant soul within an elephant body, because they're familiar with that. You see, the body is a vehicle of expression. So yes, my next life can be an unhappy one or a sorrowful one where I have to put the balance right.
But it'll be a human one.
It'll be a human one. You know, I may be born, if I've misused my money, I may be born in a very poor family. If I've misused my mind, I may get a lot of depression. If I've misused other people, you know, many things come. But I think the very important thing is, if we look at it with right perspective, karma I would not regard as a punishment. Karma is a learning process. So it's a very different perspective, because when I see it as a learning process, then, and I'm in that situation often that I've even put other people in, I can go inside and see what I have to learn. Of course, the point is that often of another life I'm not conscious. But if I am to learn, I will find there will be situations and people around me that will help me to learn. For example, somebody's treating me not well, is criticizing me, is blaming me for things. I have two modes of reaction. I get very angry and upset. I may even project. Or the other way is, how can I be stronger? How can I value myself better? See, karma and the creation of good karma and dissolving past karma is being offered at every moment in every relationship.
So you mean to say every second that I have right now, it is an opportunity to dissolve bad karma?
Yes, if, you know, any negative feeling, any negative thought, it's a seed. Either I burn it or I plant it. It's up to me. And it doesn't, you know, past life is not so important as the present. The future is not so important as the present. And that's what I've got to look at always, is the present. My intention and my attitude. We were discussing before, and you were saying that some people make good actions or charity so that their next life will be good.
So much.
Yeah, but this is cheating, isn't it?
It almost is. I'm not doing it out of my heart and goodwill. I'm doing it because I'm trying to accumulate. It's almost like accumulating money.
The only thing that you carry with you when you leave is your good actions or bad actions. No jewelry will go with you. Nothing will go with you on a physical level. You may even be born in another country. You know, you may not be Indian, you may be something else, but what you carry with you are what we call the sanskaras, and that is the imprints of the actions that you have done.
And that is in my soul somewhere.
Yes, that's imprinted in the soul, that's the recording that is there. And then that recording, according to credit or debt that you have, will pull you to those parents, to that country, to that economic situation.
I was just going to say that. I read somewhere the same thing, that before a child is born, and maybe there's a womb in waiting, a woman is just going to, you know, conceive, that soul is attracted to that life. That soul is attracted to that karma and that destiny, therefore he will choose to come and enter that life.
He will go to that mother or father, or she will go to that mother or father, because they have a karma together. You know, sometimes it's not a choice. You know, sometimes it is just the karma that has been created, and then according to that recording, you are pulled into that because there's some account. The account can be a good one. You may be born to parents who really love you, who really accept you.
And sometimes you don't get along with them.
Yes, sometimes this happens. Or you may not get along with one of the parents. Something from a past life.
So you mean to say, people, that we are really close bonds with your parents or a friend that you just connect with, people that you don't know very much, but something in them is so familiar when you look into their eyes. You've known them from before, and you have karma to give and take.
Yes, this is what is happening, because the recordings are on the subconscious level. So this is the invisible thread that is running through all of life, and it's also called the thread of keeping justice in the world. And between people. But I want to get back to this point, that if we understand karma in the right way, then we do not see it as punishment, we see it as learning process. And one very bad thing that sometimes happens, which is really within the philosophy of Raja Yoga is regarded as a mistake, is to say to somebody, if they're in a bad position physically or emotionally or financially, say, oh, it's your karma. It's karma, and you don't bother, you don't care. This is regarded as a great lack of compassion and
care. It's apathy, because sometimes when we see people in the street, somebody who's not as fortunate, or even going on to animals, and I see a stray dog which is it's being ill-treated, I feel really bad, but then I tell myself, maybe it's his karma, but what can I do?
We've always got to help and be cooperative. We cannot think always it's their karma. As much as we can, we are in the present situation, and the now is the reality. So if I don't give cooperation to a person who is in a bad situation, then maybe he will never change. Like for ourselves, There have been good people in our lives that have taken us out of sometimes very bad understanding of something or very bad reactions. If they said, oh, well, it's your karma, you know.
I'll leave you be.
Yeah, I'll leave you be. But this is not the right way. So sometimes it's very, you know, social stigma.
Are they ruining their own karma by leaving you be?
Of course. You know, because the rule of life is love. Love is the basis of justice, not punishment. Not punishment at all. And so when people misuse the idea of karma, then you know, there's a lot of social separation, social stigma.
We have so much of that here. I mean, we have a caste system. Even now, in this day and age, people do not like to mingle with people of another class or with people of another caste. It's sad.
Although Gandhi tried to change that, didn't he?
He did, yeah, but then there's only a particular set of people he could change, people whose karma maybe was to change.
But also a lot of this is to do with something more practical, is education and becoming aware and developing, you know, for all of us, not just in India, but also in other countries too, developing more compassion.
Enlightened education, you know, not only education and bookish knowledge.
No, not just technical skills.
Spiritual education.
Spiritual education, where we are really a family of humanity. And you know, in a family, you know, if one brother or one sister, something has happened to them, they're not, you know, they lose their business, the rest of the family will help, or whatever, or they're very sick. And then if they have children, you know, the brother or sister of his will help with the children. This is the way we're supposed to be doing it. But one thing that karma makes me understand, though, is that it's linked to personal responsibility and actions from past lives and this life. And that actually God is not responsible for causing pain and suffering.
Yeah, we always say, why me? Why did God create this world if it's so bad? Why am I living in such a terrible world? The world is coming to an end. My grandchildren, you know, they suffer. Or why is that person suffering in the streets? What did they do? And I end up blaming God because I didn't do that.
No, but God certainly didn't do it. You know, what is pure is not violent. A real father, a genuine mother, would not give suffering to their children. Because sometimes people tell them, but you know, suffering is the way to learn. No, suffering is a consequence, usually, of not being true or not doing something right. Yes, I can learn from that, but God would not give me directly suffering to learn. I have to learn myself. I've deviated somewhere. And so the Supreme Being is benevolent, is not violent. And so the laws of karma are to try to bring balance and restore respect.
So it's not like I have to do a ton of good karma. I have to bring it to neutral, is what you mean.
Neutral, that's right. Neutral and very practical. You know, we're not talking philosophy and theology and cosmology. Very practical. Here and now. And, you know, there are four things that create certain patterns, that create patterns of karma. First is freedom, then choice, then responsibility, and then the consequence. But I am always free to choose. Because people say, but, you know, the poor person's not free to choose.
Exactly. You say, this is my destiny. How am I free to choose?
Well, I can choose my attitude. I can choose my thoughts. Rather than blaming destiny, blaming God, blaming my parents, blaming, you know, we blame everybody. But that's a projection. It's not going to give me the solution. Yeah, let me change my attitude. Let me change the way I see myself. Let me see myself really as a soul that has a lot of very great spiritual resources, no matter what may be happening to me physically or financially or whatever. And this is a power we forget. I always have the power to choose. Always, no matter what my condition is. And I've seen it. I've seen people that are in a very bad state physically, very bad health, and they just are very angry with the world, with others, and why me? And so to realize that karma is a natural law, and it's not there to punish me. It's there to clear things.
And you can't choose not to have karma.
No, you're always, you know, there's always a response.
So you're basically born to do karma.
Of course. You know, it's like a seed of a rose.
Hmm.
If you want it to see the flower, you have to put it into the earth. It will grow, it will be thirsty, it needs water, insects may come, it has to face things. Otherwise, I, the soul, must come into the body to express. Otherwise, love and happiness is through relationship, not just by being by yourself.
I read somewhere, and it really touched me at some point, was that the purpose of your birth is to do karma, but what kind of karma? It said that you're born with something that you're really good at, something that you excel at, that you're better than anybody else. And then you also have one, maybe a fallacy, a setback.
Mm.
So when you're born, the purpose of that life would be to find the thing you're bad at, to correct it, to overcome it, and find the thing that you're good at, hone it, and spread it.
Mm.
That, I read that somewhere and it always stuck by me, as this is what my karma should be aimed at.
Yes. And you know, expression, the purpose of our life is expression. The purpose of the rose seed is to express the rose. The purpose of the, you know, the carrot is to express itself as a carrot. Mm. So we all have a uniqueness to express. Huh? But as we said before, you know, there's always mixtures inside, you know? So yeah, clean out some of the negative things, and you only do it through interaction. You only learn when you do something. You know, and this is very important to realize. So people that come into my orbit, there are some that will be, you know, very good, very loving, very respectful, others the opposite. But they're also my teachers.
So they're teachers in a way that I know I did not want to do that. And I'm learning from them that is what I'm not supposed to do.
That's one thing. Another thing is, for example, someone defames you or criticizes you wrongly. And it happens a lot. Now, there's no use getting into a fight with them because this sometimes is what they want. But, for example, my lesson is, can I value myself enough without being influenced by their opinion? Or secondly, am I honest enough to hear what they say? And maybe there's one or two things that's correct, and I change them.
There will be some truth, some something.
Yes.
Definitely.
And you can tell if, you know, it's really a reaction to something in my personality, or it's really just a jealousy or a competitiveness. So, see, we are involved in karma, in responses, in actions, all the time. All the time. And how do we create, you know, karmas? It's through five things. And it's so important that we respect these five things. If we don't respect them and use them properly, it goes off the track. And it's the mind, the body, relationships, time, and money and any material asset.
The karma, you mean to say, is within this circle of these five things.
How I interact with these five things. How I use them. If, for example, if I misuse my mind, and often most of us misuse our mind, we think too much. A lot of wasteful thoughts, maybe a lot of selfishness, stress. People say, of course, they say it's normal to be stressed, but the mind, for the mind, it's not normal to be stressed. When it loses its peace, it will start to not work properly.
And then your karma also in turn gets affected.
That is the karma, yes. That's the karma. Depression is in the mind, isn't it? And then in the whole person.
And depression is also a karma, right?
Yes.
So we can uplift ourselves from bad karma. And like you said earlier, one thought, one second, one action.
Yes, and we pay attention. If we pay attention, there's the ability to understand and transform. So, no, I shouldn't be thinking this thought. You know, most of our waste thoughts, 90% of them are about other people. Aren't they? I mean, about other people. I have to talk to myself, why do I use my mind in this way? Is it going to get me? Yes. The self-dialogue. And because I'm creating karma with my mind also, I won't give it peace.
So karma is not always doing physically, it's mental
also,
as well.
Yes, yes.
That comes into account when you're writing your final balance sheets.
That's right. Your thoughts, the feelings. The thing is with the action, once you do the action, that's it, it's final, it's written on stone then. Because if I may have the thought, oh, I could kill this person, they really upset me. But it's another thing to actually do it, huh?
Yeah.
The karma. Usually in the thoughts it's more karma with yourself.
Mm.
You know, with your own mind, with your own feelings. But when you actually do it, it involves other people and it's a debt.
So karma is a sort of a web, I mean, because it's not solitary.
Yes, it's very subtle, there is many threads like a web. And but it's not, it's the fabric of life. Not, it's very important not to see it as a, you know, like it's a very set, it's very fixed, it's bad. No, it's not like that. It's the normal expression of life. And then, you know, the karma with the body. If I don't eat properly, if I don't use it properly, it's going to be sickness.
You must take care of your body as well,
yeah,
because that counts. They say when you get angry, you start bleeding really fast.
Yes.
And they say that you have a certain number of counted breaths that you have to take. You wouldn't take one extra or one less.
Mm.
And when you're angry, you're breathing so fast and so hard. So you're using many of those breaths. But when you're silent and peaceful and in meditation, your breathing slows down. And maybe that could be a reason why people who are peaceful and they meditate, they live longer.
Yes, they live longer. You see, when you're peaceful, of course it helps your body, also helps your mind. Because when you're peaceful, you're very clear. When you're clear, you make right decisions. And then you don't have to pick many wrong things afterwards. If you make a wrong decision because you're angry or stressed, there are so many consequences, then you have to go on fixing it. So the body is the temple of the soul. A spiritual person will look after their body. They won't misuse it. That's why they will not smoke, they will not drink heavy alcohol, because I'm respecting the body. And, you know, then the karma through relations, I think we know all about that. What happens when we are dependent, when we accuse, when we don't have enough self-respect. And we talked about it in the last episode about relationships. So we realize what happens, you know? Time.
And if you have a healthy body, you'll be able to perform the karma, maybe good karma and a lot of it.
Yes.
If you're unwell, I think you're so absorbed in yourself. So karma, good karma wouldn't be possible. I think if you don't have that happiness within you, you cannot give it to anybody else. Sometimes maybe we're even looking in the wrong places for happiness. We're looking for happiness in people who don't really have it in them.
Well, this is the whole point of relationship.
Relationships with karma is where I was getting at.
Because negative karma is always, you always find violence and selfishness in it. This is the basis of bad karma is this, you know. Nature is reacting to us now. Why? We have, you know, cutting down forests.
But I haven't done that. I mean, that's been done way before me. Why do I have to pay for that?
Well, you think of clothes you buy, how they are made, things in the house, you know, the labourers who made them. And sometimes if we are apathetic, it's also a contribution.
So you mean to say that, I mean, you believe in rebirth, don't you?
Yes, yes.
So it's actually my bad karma from another birth and another that's accumulated to cause this today.
It's, you know, we all contribute in some way. It may not be such a heavy karma from past birth in terms of nature, but, you know, nature has suffered a lot of violence from human beings, you know, killing animals so much.
Nature has its own karma, doesn't it?
Nature's fine as long as human beings don't interfere. You know, with some planes up in the air to throw in some kind of chemicals to change the weather, you know, I mean...
Yeah, I've heard about that. That's crazy. Yeah. I mean, you can make it rain without...
Nature's okay. Nature does actually have a karma within itself, but the human influence starts to create a lot of imbalances. These are certain things that happen. And so this is why I have to be very, very aware of how I use my freedom, because I am responsible. And I can fix things also. Nothing is hopeless. Nothing is hopeless.
That's wonderful. Thank you for giving us this hope and a lot about the karma theory, Brother Anthony. Thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Om Shanti, Brother Anthony.
Om Shanti.
So what I take from this is a sense of hope. A hope for maybe all of us that it's all not over yet. Karma has been going on and it is happening right now and it will go on. But what matters is living in this moment and making my karma in this moment right. Correcting it. And the intent of the karma is really important. We can't say that my intent for karma is that I want a better afterlife or I want a better life for my children or grandchildren. It should be for now and it should be for good. That's all from us right now. And if you'd like to write in to us, say something to us, share with us your karma, do tell us at... If you wish to discuss your problem or have a question to ask or want to know your nearest Raj Yoga Meditation Center, write to us on awakening@pmtv.in or call us on 099-99-559-660. So another important thing I'd like to add before we end is that karma starts from a thought. So take your time out, shut your eyes, revise your thoughts, take out the waste thoughts, and the good karma will start from there. Till then, Om Shanti from all of us here. Om Shanti.